Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the podcast powered by Hobbs.
And hello and welcome to another episode of our podcast on the Bits and Pieces site. And today I am joined by Rose Rees from Midtro Metro Alliance. So say hi, Rose.
Good morning.
How are you? You well?
Yes, thank you. All good.
Good, good. So the reason why I've asked Rose to join us today is we're chatting around how we get new people into the market, how we can develop younger talent. I think that's fair. So, Rose, do you want to just give us a quick intro into you, what you're doing and where you've been, I suppose?
Okay. I won't give you the whole history, otherwise we'll be here all day. Obviously, I've got a long career, but for the last 8 years, I've been working for Mid Metro Alliance. We are a team of 9 employers that came together to design and construct tram extensions across the West Midlands. One of the things that we wanted to do very, very early on was to leave a legacy of trained young people to come into our sector. We have a skill shortage, probably same as you do. Our skill shortage is within rail and construction. We've got loads of very experienced, very clever people that have fantastic knowledge, but they're retiring. So we need young people to come into our sector to learn not just the basic skills, but also sort of learn the knowledge from the more experienced people as well. So we set up, my role is head of engagement and skills, and part of my role is to go out and talk to stakeholders when we're building tram extensions outside their front door, which sometimes isn't perhaps as enjoyable as going out to schools and talking to young people about careers. But we spend a lot of time, and a lot of colleagues do, going out to schools and engaging with young people in youth clubs and the community to talk about career opportunities for young people.
Cool. So, I mean, yeah, that sounds quite a broad spectrum of work for you to do, I suppose. How did you get into that?
Now you're going to go back a few years now, about 30-odd years ago. I started in the recruitment. I've done all sorts of jobs, but then worked in the recruitment sector. And it was a fantastic sector. It's finding people jobs, whether it be full-time jobs or part-time jobs or temporary jobs. And I started when, I don't think you'll remember, but there was a real crash in the car industry. And I was working in Coventry at the time of all places, which was obviously one of the hearts of the car industry. And we literally, me and my team, literally ripped up yellow pages, and called businesses to try and get people into work. And I think I found my passion then for getting people into work and getting them into jobs, and then watching them develop and watching their careers develop. So when I came to work for Auctus Management Group, which is one of the partners in the Alliance, the brief was to get unemployed local people into training for careers in the rail sector. We are, it doesn't matter if you have lived experience of the criminal justice system. It's all about giving people that opportunity to learn and to come in and to work. And that's what most people want to do. And again, within rail, as I say, we've got a skill shortage. So it was important. And that's how I got into it, really, was by setting up the training. Working with job centres and youth organisations, working within prisons and probation to give people those opportunities.
Yeah, it really interests me because as any of industry, talking about the bids and tenders side where I sort of sit at the moment, you look around and it's got better. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we've got a huge problem, but I think there is a need for us to get younger people involved in what we're doing. I did a podcast about almost a year ago now where I spoke to a recruitment agent. And he said at that point, which was probably 10 months after COVID finished, that half the people in industry had changed roles in that previous year. And now when you're talking, the bid industry probably has maybe 20, 25,000 people in it. That means half your population you've got to recruit effectively won't change, which leaves you with this real small percentage that might want to jump, might not want to jump. Most will probably be happy where they are. So it's actually, how do we get that knowledge out of them and into new kids coming through, I suppose, in one respect. So when we look at the work that some of our clients are doing, where they're actively, you know, engaging university graduates and that side of it, that's all great. But I suppose the bit I'm getting to is, how do we attract the younger generation? You know, is there a place for them in what we're doing?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. You know, within our sector, we obviously have a breadth of careers. You know, the perception is white middle-aged men digging holes in orange within construction. Whenever I go out to schools, you know, and we don't necessarily reflect the diversity of our communities, but we need to. We're getting there. It's moving forward, and it's definitely having the work that all the sort of different employers are doing is having a big impact. But I don't think people, young people, don't necessarily understand what careers are. I mean, bid writing and I sort of go back a bit, and it was like, oh, well, Sandra's good at English. She can put something together, you know, and that's out the window. It's a profession. And it's something that you need specific skills to do, I believe. And I think you can train a lot of those skills and a lot of the information. You've got an apprenticeship. You've had one since 2019. I did look it up. Bid and proposal coordinator at level 4. You know, but when you look at how many apprenticeships are offered, there's only 2 or 3 out there at the moment. There's one in Enfield and one in Chertsey on the Institute for Apprenticeship website. So to me, it's about growing your own talent. And that's where the benefit comes for you as organisations. You know, we developed our own level 2 apprenticeship because I wanted something that didn't have prior qualifications required. You know, I can teach stuff. What I can't teach is attitude, and I can't teach that desire to learn and that hunger to actually work and contribute to society. So we set up our own. You've got one there that perhaps could be utilised more if people understood a little bit more about what it was all about. I don't know, you know, how many employers I work with that actually have bid writers in their teams. I was working with one last week. I don't know whether they know about the apprenticeship. And until we had the conversation, funnily enough, I thought, I must ask her next time I see her. Does she know that there's an apprenticeship available, you know, to bring young people through? I mean, you're right in that people will look at immediately. They think it's something that you know, needs a graduate to do. I don't necessarily think at level 3 it needs a graduate to do. I think you could teach a young person all the knowledge that you have and how to write it properly, how to go about it, the research that they need to do, and to coordinate all that information together. You know, so you could actually take someone from a school, a mainstream school, or a special education needs school, you know, or alternative provision, which is normally the young people that have disengaged at mainstream, but they're some of the brightest kids I've ever met.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I want to sort of come back to that point in a minute, if you may. I mean, speaking as a bloke who's got a daughter, effectively, who's just finished A levels, due to get results anytime soon, put it that way. Fingers crossed. So, I mean, I always find it, because when she had companies coming to schools, when she had companies coming into the college, they were very much what I would term as the sort of traditional career choices. I'm not aware of anybody who walked into that school and said, have you thought about a career in management or training or anything like that? And I'm sort of wondering, is that, are we waiting for people to graduate so we can pick them up for university? Are we actively looking at sort of 16, 17-year-olds to bring into the industry? Do we as an industry need to do more?
I firmly believe every employer does need to do more. You know, it's hard because you've obviously got the day job. You've obviously got, you know, the business that you're running. And, you know, there's never enough hours in the day. I appreciate that. But unless we go and tell young people what's out there, they're never going to know. We've got, you know, a lot of disparity across the country with careers advice. We've got some schools that have a careers lead and a careers advisor, and that's their job. They don't teach as well. We've got other teachers that do careers advice because they want to try and help the students. So it's on top of their teaching job. I believe, controversial comment, but I believe that every school should have a dedicated careers advisor. And their role is to go out there into industry, to talk to businesses, to ask them to say, come on in, come and talk to, don't just stand behind a desk at the career fair, because nobody really engages with those, but come and talk to groups of young people, come and deliver assemblies, you know, come and support our mock interviews and our processes, really, you know, join an employer group and a focus group within schools. And it can be your local school and it can be anybody within your company that can go and do this and support and talk about your sector and talk about your industry and get the young people excited by what you do and the opportunities that there are within your sector. You know, you can, and I'm guessing with you, because it's a little bit similar with us, but, you know, if you're a procurement manager, the processes and the procedures and the legislation and everything that you go through, you can actually transfer that. You have transferable skills to go from construction to catering, you know, you can take those skills with you. And that's the same, I think, with most roles in the things that you learn throughout your career, you can transfer into different sectors. So, you know, the sky's the limit for young people, but they don't know that. And I think employers have a responsibility, a moral responsibility to go out there. I mean, it's like, you know, work experience, that's changed dramatically. If you get young people to come in for work experience, they understand what goes on then in the workplace. They talk to different people about their roles. That doesn't work as it used to. It's not one week and shadowing somebody and making the tea. You know, I think you can, and also companies don't have the time necessarily to do that and safeguard. But if you spend half a day going into a school and talking to the young people about what you do and how important it is and what the role involves and how exciting it can be. And you make it aspirational then and inspirational to the young people.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, looking at it, I suppose, from an employer's point of view, rather, so taking my sort of how Freddie Cooper that I work for, how do we do that? Now, I suppose that's the real thing to me is that, you know, and I suppose a lot of people listening to this podcast will go, yeah, well, no, we want to do this, we want to do that, but no idea how we actually do it. I mean, how do they get involved?
There's lots of different ways. You know, I'm in the West Midlands, so we have West Midlands Combined Authority that have a careers hub, and they have a team of careers advisors and enterprise coordinators that go out and talk to schools and try and support them with their careers events and activities. You know, they've got sort of benchmarks to hit, they've got Ofsteds to do and that type of thing. So they provide a fantastic service. Now, not all councils or local authorities may have that facility. They put me in touch with the schools. If I had to start from scratch, and I did in the first place, I went to schools to say, right, you know, I'm in rail and construction. We've got a skill shortage. How can I come and talk to young people about what you do, you know, about what we do and about the exciting careers and the qualifications that we need and that type of thing. Schools literally will grab your arm off. You know, they are desperate to get employers engaged. So any employer that goes and said, look, I'd like to come and volunteer and do some talks to some of your students, they'll love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. I suppose it requires a bit of effort on everybody's part to do it, because, you know, we see, I mean, I go to conferences and meetings and sessions and open days and all this sort of stuff with a number of people in our field. And you almost do see a dynamic or a portfolio of people that are there. And you very rarely see these, you know, younger people actually attending this. So I suppose it's about actually getting them excited about it. Because I'm not aware of anybody really who left school or, you know, left university and went, right, I'm going to be a bid badger. And I don't think anybody in the industry actually, I mean, hand up, I mean, I don't know anybody, but it's probably at least one, I suppose. But I'm not aware of anybody who actually, when they left school, did this as a career. Everybody's been shoehorned into it, or, can you write this for me? And they go, actually, I quite like that. I'm going to try and do it. So I suppose there is this disconnect between the educational and academia and the industrial side.
No, I think you're absolutely right. But it's you know, did anybody tell you when you were at school that there was a job there that was bid manager or bid writer?
No, I mean, to caveat that, when I was at school, I don't think the industry actually existed. but certainly, I mean, I spoke with Emily, who joined us a few years back, and she was at university, and she applied for it because it was writing. She had an English literature degree, so that's why she applied for the job. She knew nothing about bids or what we did. It just sounded fun because it was actually using her degree. But I am thinking, actually, we see this graduate pathway, we see the work they're doing with that. But I'm sort of saying, well, actually, can we start the gym? Because there's probably an awful lot of talent that we're missing because they don't got a degree.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. We've done, this is the second year now that we did some projects with special education needs schools and revision schools in the Black Country. We had about 17 schools got involved and around 400 students were involved. We did two projects. One was design and build a bug hotel, because everybody, that's inclusive, everybody can do that, which was great. And the other one was design a tram stop and build an optional model. And we went to one alternative provision school near Dudley, and the kids are just brilliant there. Really, really clever young people. Some came from quite chaotic backgrounds that weren't very nice particularly, but they really got involved with this project. And when I put all their ideas together, put them on a PowerPoint, presented it to the judging panel, which was our sort of leadership team, managing directors from various companies. And the managing director showed this young lad's design, and the guy said to me, "So I didn't realise universities were entering the competition." And I went, "He's 15. And they said, "You're joking." "No." And I said, "We pay people £1,000 a day to do this sort of work, you know." It was just phenomenal. So I know that there's so much creativity out there in school that I think you could harness. I think a lot of people could harness, a lot of different companies and different roles could harness, but that you'll never know until you go out there, you know. So, yeah, it is about getting out there, definitely.
Yeah, and that's sort of a nice segue into sort of my next question is that, we see a traditional academic pathway into get involved in, because obviously we're dealing with the written word, we're dealing with some complex time management, I suppose, in one better phrase. There must be a place in this for people with special education needs and disadvantaged, I suppose. And I suppose that's more about, actually, can we open people's eyes up to another source of talent? I mean, I'm not sure how applicable that is in our industry, but there must be people out there that aren't in the mainstream set that we can actually probably pick up on.
Absolutely. I mean, some of these young people that we work with in the alternative provision, again, as I say, their backgrounds would make you cry, some of them. They just haven't had the chances that perhaps your daughter's had, my daughter had, you know, and the supportive family side of things. But and the other one is, you know, sometimes death by PowerPoint, which I'm sure sort of drives us all mad sometimes.
Yes,
that isn't the way they really enjoy learning necessarily. You know, they're, a lot of them are young people that, you know, if you say, "Look, create this for me," they can create it absolutely fine. I think, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about young people who are sort of on the autistic spectrum, and it isn't about special powers, but it's about just finding the passion and what that young person is really interested in doing, and supporting them and helping them and guiding them to do it in a way that actually suits your industry. You know, there are roles out there that I know would suit people with different abilities. And I think that's the crucial bit, is the fact that everyone's got different abilities, and they can be harnessed. And as long as they're enjoying what they're doing, and they'll bring that passion to it, definitely.
Yeah, so I suppose from our point of view in the industry, it's about taking the blinkers off from what we expect, what we are used to, and going, is there another way we can do this?
I think you always recruit from unis, you always recruit, English students from uni, you're going to get English students from uni. And, you know, and sometimes we found, you know, you just open the doors a little bit wider sometimes, like you say, so not taking the blinkers, per se, but just open the door a little bit wider and listen to these young people and see how creative they can be and what they can do. You know, everyone now, if you're going for any contract, a government-funded contract, you will need to evidence your social value. And what you're doing as far as your corporate social responsibility, DEI, you know, you will need to do that, and sort of give a matrix of how you're going to do it and how you're going to be judged at the end of the day. And to me, giving young people opportunities, it's a bit of a sort of mercenary way of looking at it, I suppose, but it's actually giving that young people the opportunity and taking them on as an apprentice and a trainee to learn. And you're also ticking your social value box, aren't you? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose in some respects, I was trying to stay away from the, you know, tick the box to get the point in the social value. But, you know, I suppose we have to be realistic and say it is there.
Let's be honest.
It is something we need to do.
No, the work that you go out and do with schools, you know, that's all evidenced on your social value portal. Yeah. But you're actually doing good when you're going out. You know, it isn't just a lip service thing that you sort of tick a box, because you're making a difference. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is when I go out and talk to young people, I want to make a difference to those young people's lives. I want to open their horizons. You know, they don't necessarily... I was talking to a young man last week and I sort of said, you know, what do mum and dad do? And he went, they don't work. Right, okay, he said, and grandma and granddad don't work. Right, okay, they never have. So he said, well, you know, we'll get enough money, sort of. And I said, but what do you want to do? What would you like to do? Where would you like to be? You know, he actually wanted to be a sort of go down the creative avenue, which is great. So I sort of giving him some leads and things to look at and opportunities and that side of things. But we've got to get that mindset into young people who believe in themselves, give them some self-confidence, you know, and make them sort of think, you know what, I can do this. And this sounds like a great opportunity. I've never heard of it before. You know, how can I get into this role? And the people who write bids make differences to other people's lives. So, yeah. You know, and it's that rolling stone, isn't it? It's you know, you write your bid and you've got your stuff in about your social value and what you're going to do and all that. For your clients or whoever it is that you're working for, or you do it for your own company, your own employer. But by doing that, you are making a difference. So that role is a really influential role and a really important
one. So, you know, obviously we're in 2024 now. We've seen huge advantages, huge developments over the last sort of 5-10 years in this field. And it is getting a lot better. There is, I suppose, we are being more aware of what there is to do. You know, how do we attract that talent? And you know, what would you like to see people do proactively that take one thing away from our chat and do?
Knock on the door of your local schools. You know, talk to your local schools and go in there and make a difference. I tell you, whoever goes in, we have colleagues within the Alliance. Once they've been into a school and they've done something in the school, they're like, so when's the next one? You know, and it might have been sort of, not volunteering is a pain, but sometimes people sort of, you know, oh, I've got to give up an hour of my time or 2 hours of my time. But when you go out and you can see those faces and you think you've sparked an interest in those young people, they're asking you questions and they're like, I mean, they're, you know, it's always, what can you earn? That's the first thing, you know, what's your salary? you know, but for them to a lot of young people, you can do a degree apprenticeship now, so you can go into level 7. So, you know, I always, as long as young people have an informed choice, that's the most important thing in my view. So, and they decide whether they want to go to uni or whether they want to take an apprenticeship. It's entirely up to them at the end of the day at 16 or 18. But to me, it's about us giving them that informed choice. And they can't get that informed choice unless they know the roles that are out there. So, you know, if there's one thing to take away, it's just go knock the door. Go knock the door of your local school and say, right, this is me. This is what I do. This is what my company does. I want to try and help young people understand what we do, and try and get some more young people into our sector. Mm. They'll take your hand off, absolutely.
I suppose it's their advantage, whereas actually sometimes it's easier and, I don't know, use the phrase cheaper, but yeah, more cost effective, I suppose, is a better way of putting it, to develop your in-house talent, to take somebody at sort of 16, 17 and develop them through the progress and give them that opportunity to drive forward.
Absolutely. Grow your own. You know, you'll find if you take apprentices on, they will tend to be more loyal to you because you've given them that opportunity. They can see, you know, they can see a path to developing within your organisation. You know, the ones that we've had with us, they've all, in actual fact, that, I suppose the first ones were about 6 years ago when we had our first tramway operative level two apprenticeship. And we've still got them with us, but they've developed as supervisors, some of them. Mm-hmm. They've gone on to managers. Others have left. Others have gone on to supervisory positions elsewhere. One went into plant and working on plant because that's where he wanted to be. You know, it's all about helping those young people get their first step on the ladder, really. That's what it's all about. But they will, I do believe they will show you that extra loyalty because you've been given them that opportunity and you've supported them and you've mentored them and you've helped them in some situations where, like I say, they haven't necessarily had, you know, parental or peer support outside, but you've given them that chance.
Brilliant. Absolutely love it. Yeah. Right, Rose, now we come down to the final question, which is our little bit of fun really with everybody on here. I'm dreading to see what you're going to give an answers for, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What's the best band in life?
Oh, right. You're talking to a very old rock chick here. a very, very old rock chick. Yeah, I mean, you know, Rolling Stones at Wembley, Meatloaf, several times Meatloaf, AC/DC. That was a really good one. Thin Lizzy at the Odeon in Birmingham, right up close. But I think it would have to be my first ever concert, which was, this is going to sound really old, May 1973, David Bowie. And it was the old Civic Hall in Wolverhampton. It was just blew me away, really. It was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
I love that. I mean, if you're going to pick a legend, there's nobody better than Bowie, I suppose. So here we go. Rose, it's been delightful talking to you. If anybody wants to get in touch with Rose and have a chat with her about what she's doing, I'm sure she will won't mind answering your questions. And on to next time. Thank you very much.